your soul. It's never too late to start again. God has made you whole. You are worth loving. You're worth fighting for. You are so deserving.
This is a song for every girl who's ever been through something she thought she couldn't make it through, yeah. I sing these words because I was that girl too, wanting something better than this, but who do I turn to? Now we're moving from the darkness into the light. This is the defining moment of our lives. Yeah. 'Cause you're beautiful like a flower, more valuable than a diamond. You are powerful like a fire. You can heal the world with your mind, and there is nothing in the world that you cannot do when you believe in you. Who are beautiful? Yeah, you. Who are brilliant? Yeah, you. Who are powerful? Yeah, you. Who are resilient? This is a song for every girl who feels that she is not special, 'cause she don't look like a supermodel Coke bottle. The next time the radio tells you to shake your money maker, shake your head and tell them you're a leader. Now we're moving from the darkness into the light. Yeah. This is the defining moment of our lives. Yeah. 'Cause you're beautiful like a flower, more valuable than a diamond. You are powerful like a fire. You can heal the world with your mind. There is nothing in the world that you cannot do when you believe in you. Who are beautiful? Yeah, you. Who are brilliant? Yeah, you. Who are powerful? Yeah, you. Who are resilient? Yeah, you. Who are beautiful? Yeah, you. Who are brilliant? Yeah, you. Who are powerful? Yeah, you. Who are resilient? Yeah, you. This song is for you. Yeah, you. This song is for you. Yeah, you. This song is for you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. You are brilliant.
Into your hand, into your mind, out of your soul, race through your veins. Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Welcome to the first annual Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference on Grindhard Radio. This Wednesday, March 29th, Thursday, March 30th, and Friday, March 31st, from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time each night, join me with my girls, Denise Henry, Dawn Warner, Melissa Joy Wood, and Veronica Escovel Winters, as we come together to empower, encourage, and unite women and girls all around the world. We'll be talking about all the topics that matter to us as women and girls, from body image to self-esteem, health, wellness, spirituality, living your dreams, business, friendship, motherhood, relationships, and more. Tune in live at 323-693-3043 or by clicking on the link for each night's show. You are worthy. You are valuable. You are beautiful. You are brilliant. You are a radiant queen.
You've been down before. You've been hurt before. You got up before. You'll be good to go.
Let me get up now.
Destiny said it. You gotta get up and get it. Get mad in the pen and don't you ever forget it. Got the blood on your shoulder. Let me brush it off for you. If you're feeling me, put your five high.
Hello everyone, that was NDRE with Beautiful Flower and Ali and AJ with Rush. I'm giving you two songs at the start of the show to give you enough time to get your food, drinks, use the restroom, kick your feet up, and join us in time. Welcome to the final night of the first ever Queens of Radiance Conference on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to the Quakes for helping me to create and produce our theme song and also singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. To wrap up the season one finale of my new Spirit and Soul radio show, some of my favorite speakers, Melissa Joy Wood, Dawn Warner, Veronica Escovel Winters, Denise Henry, and I have come together to empower, unite, and encourage women and girls all around the world. This conference has focused on spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being for women and girls and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I've been sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe, and why I believe this way, and sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We've been discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, depression, panic, and so much more. We are speaking life into you and your dreams, answering your questions, and encouraging your heart and praying for your every need. Every night of the conference will be available on iTunes. Search Sade Champagne's Queen of Radiance Conference, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I'm so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you're tuning in from around the globe. All the episodes of my Spirit and Soul radio show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional treasure finder. I find the golden treasure that is already in every person and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my voice, music, creativity, resources, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I'm a receiver and giver of grace. I'm very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. Tonight, on the final night of the conference, we have messages from Gospel Revolution Churches, Denise Henry, Dawn Warner from Dynamic Love Ministries, and me. My Power of a Dream Tour and I are always booking new shows and performances. This spring, we will be in San Luis Obispo, Ventura County, Orange County, Kern County, LA County, Fresno, and more. We love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, My Power of a Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see our full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who has been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I am constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio again very soon with the Quakes, whom you heard earlier on my theme song. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. Once again, that's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all conference long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, #SpiritInSoul or GHR to join in the conversation. And thank you so much to everyone who contacts me on all my social media telling me how much my shows and what I'm doing are impacting your life. I am forever grateful and thankful for your support, and I give the same love right back to you. We're going to get right into our first speaker of the night, my dear friend, mentor, and one of my favorite speakers, Denise Henry. Denise Henry is the Associate Pastor and Children's Church Coordinator for Gospel Revolution Church in Slidell, Louisiana. She was born in the New Orleans area into a religious family that went to church every week, but nobody was close to God. They just went to church as an obligation. She was sent to live with her grandparents as a small child, where she encountered satanic rituals up close for a few years. That caused her severe problems until she met Jesus when she was 25 years old. Jesus set Denise free, and she knew God was so happy with her. But then she entered into the religious system again of do's and don'ts to become a quote-unquote mature Christian. Jesus again came to her rescue and is again persuading her heart that she is as she ought to be, and who she is good. I asked her to speak on the topic of you lack no good thing. One of the saddest and hardest things in the world is when we feel like we are missing something, when we feel incomplete. It makes us feel unworthy and as if something is wrong with us. Listen in as Denise reminds us of who and whose we really are.
Hi, my name is Denise Henry. I grew up in southern Louisiana near New Orleans. Tonight, I want to talk about something that we all experience. It is the pain we feel in our hearts when we believe we lack something that we need or want. We have all felt that pain. Adam and Eve were the first people to feel lack. They thought they lacked even though God had given them everything they needed. They believed a lie. And it's the same way with us. God has provided everything we need for life and godliness. Believe it. When we believe the lie that we lack, it causes us to believe other lies. We often believe that we're inferior. We may think God is withholding something from us. Then we think we can't trust God. Then we believe we have to get life for ourselves through our own self-effort. One lie leads to another, to another, to another. When I was growing up, I had a house to live in, and there was food on the table every day. But I believed that there was something wrong with me. I lacked. Who I was lacked. This produced a lot of pain in my life. I always thought I was less than another person, less than everyone. This belief not only caused me a lot of pain, it also drove my actions. I was always busy trying to prove that I was better than I thought I was. That lie produced many bad actions, lying, cheating, and stealing whatever I could do to look better than what I believed about myself. I was always trying to look as good or better than somebody else. I saw everything through a grid of lack. It doesn't matter what area you think you have lack. It will always produce pain and make you get busy trying to remove the lack from your life. When you believe you lack something that someone else has, it makes you feel inferior or less than that person. That brings a lot of pain. I believed I was less than other people for most of my life until God showed me that I was believing a lie. God showed me that it was not possible for me to be inferior to anyone else. The real problem that I had was that I was believing a lie, the lie of lack. Now, this might be hard to believe at first, but hear me out. When we believe we lack something that another person has, we feel less than that person, right? Is it possible to be less than another person? Is it possible for you to be less than anyone else? No, that is an impossibility. You can't be less than anybody. Why is that? God showed me the answer. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. That scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God." Did you hear that? That is a lot to swallow. God wants us to have the same mind as Jesus. And what mind is that? God wants you to know that you are in the form of God and that you are equal to Him. So how can you be lower than anyone else if you are equal to God? If Susan is equal to God and you are equal to God, how can you be less than Susan? You can never be less than anyone else because you are equal to God in value. So it's impossible for us to lack in our value and identity, yet most of us have felt this pain, but it is a lie. God says that human value is equal to His value. I'm not being arrogant or prideful. I'm not saying that you are God. I'm not saying that you created the universe. I'm saying who you are is equal in value to God. God is the one that made you that way. God made you equal to Himself. God made people just like Him. He made them all equal in value to Him. So you are just as valuable as everyone else in this world. You are just as valuable as God is. So you can't lack as a person. It isn't possible. When you believe you're less than another person, you are believing a lie. When God sees you, He sees Himself. He sees His beauty, His value, His character when He looks at you. He adores you. He is at peace with who you are. God enjoys you. Now, there are other areas we can think we lack besides our value as a person, but those are lies too. We can believe we lack because we have less than somebody else. We can believe we lack because we have an old car or a smaller house or don't have a college degree or we think we aren't beautiful. We can believe we lack because we just broke a fingernail. But do these things have anything to do with lack? I'm going to say something that is hard to believe. Sometimes the truth is difficult to believe the first time we hear it because it's so good. Lack is connected to a belief system, not your circumstances. Let me say that again. Lack is connected to what you believe. It is produced by what you believe, not your circumstances. It isn't what you have or don't have. It isn't what has not happened to you. Let me say it a little bit stronger. Lack is a lie. You lack no good thing. In John chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have problems, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We aren't supposed to get our peace and joy from the things of this world. This world brings problems sometimes. We're supposed to get our peace and joy from Jesus. We don't lack, even when we are in difficult circumstances. Why? Because lack is a lie that we believe when we think we get life and happiness from the things in this world. We don't even know what is best for us. We look at our circumstances and we judge whether they're good or bad, but we don't have any idea what's going on. I had a nervous breakdown when my husband told me we were moving back to Louisiana in 1977. I thought that was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. It turned out to be one of the best things that happened to me. When we think we get our life from what happens to us in this world, we're believing lies. Let's take a quick look at a man named Stephen in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Now, Stephen is in a bit of a pickle. He's what you call between a rock and a hard place. Stephen was getting ready to be stoned to death. Now, that probably sounds like lack to you, doesn't it? The Bible says that Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Do you see any lack there? It says the people in the synagogue were not able to resist Stephen's wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Do you see any lack there? It says all the men who sat in the council questioning Stephen saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. Do you see any lack? Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and saw the glory of God when he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen saw into heaven. Do you see any lack there? They stoned Stephen, and while he was dying, he said, "God, receive my spirit. And don't count these people's sins against them." And then he died. He wasn't even mad at the people who killed him. He left this earth in peace and joy. And he left this earth, but he was more alive in heaven than he ever was on earth. Do you see lack there, or do you see eternal life? What is your perspective? Do you see through the eyes of what is going on in the world or with the eyes of truth? Was there anything that was happening to Stephen that could take away his peace and joy? No, nothing. Because Stephen didn't get his value or peace or joy from the things in this world. He got it from God. God was his source. There is no lack. Stephen is plunged into the life and power of God. He is able to do signs and miracles, preach the gospel to a group of influential men. He sees the heavens open and looks inside and sees Jesus, a human, his representative, standing at God's right hand, where Stephen is fixing to be shortly. Stephen did not lack. Jesus said things in this world will go wrong sometimes, but we could still have joy because he had overcome the world. We aren't supposed to get peace from this world. In fact, the world can't give us peace. We get peace from God. The world doesn't give us life. Jesus does. Why do we look for things in this fallen world to give us peace and life when Jesus said this world would bring problems? The problems we have in this world don't say anything about you and me. They only say that we live in a fallen world. If we think we lack every time something goes wrong, we'll be in a lot of emotional pain. God wants to heal our hearts with his peace that is above the things of this world. in anything that can happen to us in this world. He wants to remove the lie of lack from our hearts. You lack no good thing. It's not what happened to you that is the problem. It's what you believe about what happened that is the problem. Let me say that again. It's not what happens to us in this world that's the problem. It's what we believe about what happened that's the problem. When we have a problem in this world, it tempts us to take our eyes off of Jesus, who is the source of our joy and peace and love. It's a temptation to forget what God says about you and how much he loves you. There are many people in the world that have fame and beauty and riches. They have beautiful houses and big cars, and they're not happy. They're miserable. They're killing themselves by suicide and through drugs. All those things in the world didn't bring them the peace and joy that they were looking for. Believing that the things of this world bring us peace and joy is a lie. When we have Jesus, he will give us peace and joy no matter what happens to us. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes it's hard for us to believe. In fact, I think we can't believe it weighs our hearts till we can believe it. So what do you do when troubles come? What do you do when it looks and feels like you're in lack? What do you do when you start asking yourself those hard questions? What is wrong with me? Why did this happen to me? Where is God? You can't do anything to fix the situation yourself, but God can. He wants to persuade your heart that you don't lack anything. God wants to set you free from getting life from the things of this world. God wants to be your source of life, your source of joy, your source of peace. God wants to set you free so you won't set your heart on getting life from the things of this world. I have some pretty strong emotions. I'm a pretty passionate person. So when I'm happy, I'm really happy. And when I'm sad, I'm really sad. If I try to get my peace from this world, this is what my heart and soul are going to look like. My computer got a virus. I'm really sad. I got some unexpected money. I'm really happy. I have a cold and I don't feel good. I'm really sad. I've got some new shoes. I'm really happy. I have termites in my house. I'm really sad. The termites got taken care of. I'm really happy. Do you see what happens to me when I try to get my happiness from what is going on in the world and my circumstances? When I'm happy because of circumstances in the world, it's only going to last until the next problem that I have. When I'm sad, I'm believing the lie that I'm in lack. That is what a broken heart looks like. There is a lot of pain. Each time something goes wrong, we think we're in lack, but it's a lie. What screams at you to try to get you to think that you lack? I'm telling you, you can't lack. You might believe the lie that you lack. You might feel the emotions that come from believing that lie, but you can't lack. You are just like God. God does not lack. And you lack no good thing. Of lack prevented Adam and Eve from experiencing the life God had for them. So that same lie of lack tries to prevent us from experiencing God's life. It causes us to try and find life through our own self-effort, which only brings us more pain and more suffering. Having problems doesn't mean that you lack anything. Problems do not have the power to separate you from God's life, from his love, from his peace and joy. All they can do is tempt you to believe you lack. They tempt you to believe a lie. It is not what happens to us that is the problem. It is what we believe about what happened that is the problem. That can be so hard for us to believe, but it's the truth. Who brought this lie of lack into the world? It was the devil. He told Adam and Eve that they lacked. He told them that they weren't like God, but they were. He told them a lie, and they believed it. Satan fed the lie he believed to Adam and Eve. Satan believed he lacked, even though he was the most beautiful of all angels. He offered his mindset to Adam and Eve, and he offers his mindset to us. When we think of lack, we think something is missing or broken. But actually, lack is a state of our mind or our heart. It is not produced by our circumstances, but it's produced by what we believe about our circumstances. Lack is a state of mind where we have our thoughts and desires on the things of the earth instead of the things above. I'll give you an example. I have a daughter who doesn't like football. If the Saints, New Orleans Saints, lose, she doesn't get upset at all because she doesn't get life from whether they win or lose. But if winning the game is what she thought gave her life, she would get very upset when they lost. Many people in New Orleans love the Saints. When the Saints win, they're ecstatic, and when they lose, they're depressed. Those of you who love the game and your home team, you know what I'm talking about. Well, there was a time that the Saints fans felt so much lack because the Saints had a losing season that they began to wear paper bags over their heads at the Saints game because they thought they had so much shame. It was a lie. They weren't supposed to get their life and their source of joy from a football team. They were supposed to get it from Jesus. And now, years and years after that time, how important are those football games? It seemed that it was so important at the time for some of us. Yet now that season's over, you know that they're not your source of life or joy. But sometimes it's easy to be tricked into thinking that we can get life from this world. Yet we have all experienced getting something that we have desired for a long time. Maybe you've been waiting a long time to save up to get a car or a house, or you get a job that you've waited for a long time. Then once you have it, after a short while, your excitement goes away and you start to desire the next thing on your list. So that first thing that you desired didn't really give you life and joy and peace like you thought it would. So where do you get life? Are you focused on the things of this earth to give you life, or on the life that comes from God? Are you focused on what is happening here on this earth, or on God's love and his life for you? In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth, for your life is hid with Christ in God." Here we see two choices, two belief systems. We can have our mind on the things of this world and what it offers for life, which is Satan's belief system, or we can have our mind on the things above, which is God's belief system to have life. Are we going to let the world tell us who we are and what we have, or are we going to listen to what God says about us and what God says we have? God says, "You lack no good thing." Are you letting the world tell you who you are and what you have? Or will you believe what God says about who you are and what God says you have? I'm not saying it's bad to have things in the world. God wants us to enjoy our lives here. But what I am saying is, if we think we can get life from those things, we're believing a lie. Love and peace and joy do not come from this world. They come from God. and can only come from believing what God believes. Do you see the truth? You are already just like God. He has seated you at his right hand. He has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. You can't lack. The problem is, we believe that problems in this life mean that we lack. That's what it tries to say to us. But that is a lie. We don't have to let the problems in this world convince us that we lack. We don't have to believe the lie of lack. Jesus said there was only one place we would get peace and joy, and that's in him. Can we stop believing this lie of lack in our own strength? No. All we can do is go to God and let him tell us the truth. He will persuade your heart that you don't lack. He will show you who you are and what he has given you. He will convince you that you don't lack in any area of your life. You can let God persuade your heart of the truth. You can never lack, no matter what happens to you on this earth, because your source for life and joy and love is Jesus. Jesus says you are wonderful. Jesus says he delights in you and who you are. Jesus says, I have life for you, and this world can't take it away. Jesus says, come to me, and I will lift your burdens, and I will fill you with my life, my peace, and my joy. Thank you, Jesus, that you're filling our hearts with your truth, truth about us and truth about the life that you've given to us. Thank you for persuading our hearts that we don't lack and that you have already given us everything we need for life and godliness. Thank you for persuading our hearts that you are our life, not the things of this world. Thank you for making us equal to you and giving us your life. Amen.
Our next song of the night is Hope Parlow with Who You Are Remix. Who you are is good and so pleasing to God. Never believe the lie that you are unworthy and not good enough. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference right here on Grindhard Radio.
Put on my makeup, just like every girl in a magazine. That's not who I am when I wake up. That's not who I wanna be. There's so much more to me than meets the eye in this life. I know. We are who we are, who we are, who we are.
Welcome back to night three of the Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference on Grindhard Radio. Our next message is from my dear friend, mentor, and one of my favorite speakers, Dawn Warner. Dawn is a web pastor and speaker from Dynamic Love Web Church. Dynamic Love Web Church is an online church formed by Pastor Bertie Britz of Dynamic Love Ministries. For those who don't have any local Grace Church or fellowship, or want more fellowship in the message of grace. They also have online meetings and counseling done through Skype or telephone. Dawn is passionate about sharing with people that God loves them and is for them and has always wanted them and wants them to live his quality of life for free. Dawn also has a life-giving Facebook group titled Seeing Ourselves Through Our Father's Eyes, where women and girls can get together and learn more about God's love for them, ask questions, share their stories, and more. I asked her to speak on knowing God as Father. So many of us girls and women are living with deep, deep daddy wounds and issues. God is the only one who can heal and restore us. God will be our Father and whatever or whoever else we need him to be.
Thank you so much, Sade. I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show, and what an honor it is. I'm so grateful for your friendship and the encouragement that you always speak into my life, and I just want to say thank you again for having me. It's such an honor, and I just want to say hi to everybody and welcome you to this amazing Queens of Radiance conference. I love how God put this in Sade's heart, because I just feel like you cannot hear enough, ladies, about the beautiful, wonderful, miracle and gift of you. So we just want to celebrate you and speak into your lives and encourage you in all that God has for you. And again, my name's Dawn. I'm from Dynamic Love Ministries, and I'm really excited today. Sade had asked me to do just a little brief message to speak with you about knowing God as Father. And I was so excited to be able to talk about this because just some background on me. I'm 43. I live in New Jersey. Been a Jersey girl my whole life. And what I knew about God growing up was not a kind, loving father. We can only really project what will on to God, what we hear people say about him, and also what we've been taught by our parents, because it's a very natural thing. However you were raised, you will consciously and subconsciously project that onto God. And so it's just something that happens to us because of our design. And so growing up, I was taught that God was a very distant God, a very far away God, and a judgmental, angry God at that. And so one of the things that was said to me as a child was, you know, when we fell down and we hurt ourselves, little things like that, you know, my mother, God bless her, would say, you know, that's God getting you for something you've done. And so that really plants some harmful seeds into our hearts. And it does. And I always like to say that, you know, our hearts are our belief sums. You know, out of it flows everything that we believe about. We all live by faith, and we all believe something. And so what it is what do you have faith in, and who do you have faith in? And so the wonderful thing that God has done for us in Jesus is to show us physically who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to say, you know, that background, and also I grew up, you know, semi-Catholic, I like to say. You know, I wasn't a church girl. I didn't really come to find out God was kind and loving until I was about 35, and I found out that he is a lavish, extravagant, intimate father that wants to be involved in every area of my life, and he kindly earns my trust to give it over to him and to welcome my father into my life. And I want to say he'll do that with you. But it took a while for me to see God like that. Our father has to really undo a lot of wrong believing and a lot of things that I attributed to God. And he did that so kindly and gently in his love. And so as I was saying, you know, growing up, I really had the idea that God was mad and he was disappointed, and it was all about my performance, that no matter what I did, he was up there far away again judging me for, you know, was my performance good enough here? Would he be pleased? And even if he wasn't mad, I thought for sure he was disappointed in me. And I know now that's a reflection of the relationship that I had with my parents. I had a very performance performance-based relationship, not only with my parents, but that led to a performance-based relationship with everyone. I'd always, you know, perform for teachers and for friends and for boys growing up. It really led to a life of complete performance. And so, of course, I projected that onto God, that I had to, you know, act good enough, be good enough, do everything just good enough to even to earn his love and his his approval of me, and then to come to find out that he's always loved me, he's always approved of me. And so I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's really the design that the relationship you're designed for is a lavish love relationship with your Father. And it's wonderful that we can reverence him as Father, you know, being in all of who God is. But what he wants is an intimate, personal love relationship with you. And he wants us to come to him like a little child. You know, that's what Jesus said. Come to me like a little child. And just, you know, and it's not like an adult child. It's that little two-year-old that fusses over things and, you know, has breakdowns and fits. And he wants in on all of it. Our Father wants in on all of it. And so I have to say, what God has done over these past years, it's a beautiful thing. You know, I just want to say that we really have to filter everything that we know about God. You know, Jesus is who I believe God is, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is a beautiful family, and I believe it's that beautiful three-in-one, three very distinct persons, but yet all with the same characteristics. All with the same love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and mercy and grace is their character. That is only who they are. And they're undivided. They're undivided in their goodness. They're only good. And so what the Trinity is a family. And when we have to filter, you know, God declares himself as Father. So there establishes the family dynamic of what the Trinity is and who Jesus is and our Father is. And so, you know, Jesus is the Son. So there's that beautiful Father-Son family dynamic. And then the Holy Spirit, he's our comforter. He's our one that comes alongside us. And so that's the mother aspect of the Trinity. It's this beautiful family that said in the beginning, let us. They have the most fullest, most beautiful, highest quality of life. And what they said is, yes, let's make Sade, let's make Dawn, let's make, you know, Denise and Melissa, let's make you, because they've always wanted you and they have dreamed of you and they always wanted to completely for free by them being in relationship with you, by them believing in you, which they always have, and then persuading your heart that he is trustworthy. And that's what God does. That's what the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they earn your trust to prove themselves to you so that you can believe in them, and then they can produce and give you their very life, their love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, temperance, faithfulness, long-suffering. All those beautiful fruits of the Spirit are actually the character of God that we can actually feel by the Holy Spirit producing in us. And so I have come to find out that I think the most important thing is that we've got to hear the correct information about God to be persuaded of his goodness. Because if we think of it as a family dynamic, you know, Jesus is the Son, and now when we believe in Jesus, we are those exact sons and daughters. Even if you're a daughter, you have the beautiful sonship of everything that Jesus is before the Father. You know, he sees you beautiful and innocent, and he's always loved you. He's always been in love with you, and he's always wanted you. Forever, he's always wanted you. You know, we were just a dream in his heart before he brought us into this world. And ever since we were conceived in our mother's womb, he's been speaking to our hearts about how much he loves us and wants a beautiful relationship with us. But I know for me, I didn't hear the correct information about God. And so if you don't hear that God is good and only wants to do good to you and be good to you and give you this amazing quality of life for free apart from anything that you've done or could ever do, because you can't earn the goodness of God. You can't do anything in your own strength, in your own works to have the God's quality of life. You know, that was the lie from the beginning. But I didn't hear about the goodness of God. So I thought, okay, God will just stay up here and I'll just be down here and I'll still try to have an abundant life. I'll still try to work to make God happy. You know, and I remember when I accepted Jesus way back when I was a young teenager, little Pentecostal girlfriend told me about this guy named Jesus and how he died for my sins. And that was the way that I could be quote unquote saved. And I thought, oh, that's amazing that Jesus did that. And it really God spoke to my heart, you know, simply as I received it. And I said, yeah, I'll take some of that, Jesus. Because for me, I didn't want to go to what I thought was hell at the time. But I didn't know that he wanted this beautiful, lavish love relationship where we're sharing our moment-to-moment, day-to-day lives inside and out. And so I accepted Jesus, but I still, it was all performance-based for me, honestly. And so I still thought I had to do good so that he'll be proud of me and so that he'll even love me or be approved of me and or accept me. And then I find out that all those things my heart ever longed for were already done by our Father. Our Father had this beautiful love plan from the beginning to have this lavish love relationship with us and then for us to share it with each other. And he has shown himself strong in Jesus, but I didn't hear the correct information about God, so I didn't come to him. I didn't have that boldness in my heart to come to God, as he says, to come boldly to me. But then when I started hearing about Jesus, you know, I started hearing about the beautifulness of Jesus, how he came and he sat with the sinners, you know, which just means they didn't have a partaking of God's very life. It's a noun, not a verb. And that everyone wanted to come to him, and he was thronged, and his children came to him, and he was always coming to people. And when I saw Jesus in the Gospels, that's when God started really making it real for me who he was. And that is what God says in John. He says, no man has ever seen the Father except the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Son declares him. So when our Father started really drawing me to him, he kept pointing me to the person of Jesus, because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So all that we hear about God, all that we read about God in the Bible, all of it has to be filtered through the manifestation of who we see Jesus and what we see Jesus doing in the gospel. And if we don't see this beautiful, amazing, kind, loving, merciful Jesus, we won't have that confidence to come to him when we need help. We'll still be thinking, I've got to do it on my own so that God will be approving of me. And that's what really keeps us distanced, and that's really what keeps us, honestly, not in any intimacy. If you don't know the character of God, that he's only good and can do good to you, you won't call on him when you need help. You won't call on him when you're hurting. You won't call on him when you have pain in your heart or when you're physically hurting or when, you know, things are coming against you. You won't have that confidence. So I know that it's been God that has constantly and constantly earned my trust to come to him again and again and again. And what that is that he, when I say he has earned my trust, I mean, he's persuaded my heart. You know, no one can have blind faith in anyone. When we think about our everyday relationships, the kind of beings that we are beings that live by faith, and people have to show themselves trustworthy to us. And so when they do, we start to become persuaded that, yeah, I can trust them. And what do? We have faith in that person. And so that's exactly what God does. God doesn't ever expect us to believe on our own, because we can't. We can only believe who God is and who Jesus is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's for the rest of our lives while we're here, that we can only believe God by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and by hearing the correct facts and information about our Father. And so it's wonderful to know God is, yes, there's God, he provides, there's God who heals, but there is nothing more intimate and lavish than knowing him as my daddy, my papa, my father, God, because that's what Jesus said. I have come to declare him as father, because no one in the word, no one in the Bible had ever known God as father. And when they heard that, it was really blasphemous for Jesus to say that he knows God as father, because what that means is that we're on the same equality as God. That means not that we are God, but we're the kind. When we think about our father, you know, son, father-daughter relationship, it means you're of the same equality. And that was really blasphemous to say in the Jewish culture. And so all that to say, I had to hear the correct information about God. So if you want to take away anything from this tonight, know that God loves you and has always loved you and wanted you and is wants this intimate, lavish relationship, and he knows all you've been through. He knows the lies that you've heard about God. He knows, you know, what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden is that the, you know, the the serpent came and tempted them with not being able to trust in God. And that's what we're tempted with every day. Our circumstances, I say, like to have a voice to us. And so, you know, every day we're tempted to doubt God. But that's okay. He is bigger than our doubts, than our fears. And I also just want to say that a lot of times we project what our parents or what those parental roles or guardians have been in our lives. And if they haven't been good and kind, think of it. We're kind of outraged about that. We know we would deserve better, but that's because God is that only Father that can heal us and be that daddy to us that heals our hearts. And so I just want to say that that is just all pointing to Jesus and all pointing to who our Father is. And I want to encourage you to only hear messages and hear things about God that just promote that trust in Him, that only promote that He's good and loves you and wants to do good and wants to convince you and persuade you. Because He says it's the goodness and kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance, which isn't any behavior, which is a mind change, which is a belief change, because that's where the kingdom of God is. It's within us. And so I would want to encourage you to just hear the correct information about God. Only hear about how Jesus is good and God is good, because I always say many things happen. You know, we live in a fallen world and there's things that happen and it's like, oh my God, what comes to us is, if God loved you, why is that happening? If God really cared for you, why isn't He doing X, Y, and Z? And I have to say, what is put all those what ifs, you know, all those thoughts in my mind, and I know come to each and every one of us, what really puts them to rest, what puts my mind at rest, is the integrity of His character, which again means that He's only good and can only do good to me. So if anything that you hear about God, just ask our Father, say, hey, is that true? Could that be true about you? And then you know what He's going to do? He's going to point me to Jesus Christ, who went around healing all that were oppressed, and that, you know, let the little children come to Him, and He raised the dead, and He healed the sick, and He fed, you know, He fed the 5,000. And so we've got to look at Jesus to see exactly who the Father is. And so I just want to encourage you, the intimacy that I now have with the Trinity is miraculous, I would say. And it came little by little, day by day, moment by moment, by just me saying, Father, I just want to know you. Father, I'm afraid. I see that this is happening, and I don't know where you are in it. Can you please help me believe? And the reason I was persuaded, which means to be able to trust Him, is because God showed Himself trustworthy to me. Each and every time He showed Himself trustworthy, because the persuasion, and think about it, it's all the responsibility of the parent to take care of that two-year-old. It's all the responsibility for that parent to be there when that baby's crying, to be there when that baby's hungry, to provide. And that is what our Father wants to do for you. But I had to hear that. I had to keep hearing that truth and having my conscience cleansed and having my subconscious cleansed. That's a huge thing. But only God can do that in His love and His goodness and His grace. And so now I have that boldness to come to our Father and say, Daddy, help me. And I can even show all my emotions to my Father. I can be mad. I can be angry. I can be disappointed. I can come really, really with a problem, I would say. And I'd say, where are you? Where's your job of saving me, Father? It doesn't look like you're doing it. And I can feel Him within me, so happy that His daughter is coming boldly to her papa to get some answers and to be healed in who He is. So I just want to encourage you. I just feel to pray for everyone, just to take away from this. And what I had to hear is that God, I had to hear what He thought about me, that He always loved me, that He always saw me innocent and blameless, and that He always wanted a relationship with me, and He wanted to have me ever. And so what He did was the plan that they had in Jesus Christ, you know, to die away all of our sin, to die away the death and the law system. And what He did is He came, and He literally came, and He just scooped me up in His love and His grace. And He made Himself real for me, and He showed Himself strong for me, is what I feel to say. And so I just feel to pray for everyone out there. Maybe you haven't had a kind father. Maybe you didn't have any kind of father. Maybe your earthly father just didn't know the precious gift of you, and so he wasn't in your life. you know, and I just feel to pray for you and to just to say all of that can be healed with who our Father God is. Because I always encourage even the best parent, even the most, if you want to say, if there is a perfect parent, what that perfect parent will do will point you to God, will point you to Jesus, and will point you to their love and grace, and that they always wanted you and wanted a relationship with you. And that's the abundant life that they came for us to have. So I just feel to pray for everyone. I just thank you, Father. I just thank you, Father, for everyone listening and everyone who comes across this and who will listen. I just thank you, Father, that you are relentlessly speaking to their hearts, that I thank you that you've been poking in our hearts since we were formed in our mother's womb about how you love us and how you've always wanted us and approved of us and you accept us. And I just thank you, Father, that you know what everyone's been through. You know exactly what everyone's been through, and you know what they need to see to trust you, Father. You know what you need to reveal about yourself to trust, for them to trust you, Father. You know the hurts. You know the lies. And I thank you, Father, that the persuasion, that the burden is on you, Daddy God, to show yourself trustworthy. And I thank you that you're working in all hearts and that you show each and every listener, each and every precious gem, the beauty of them, the gift of them. And I thank you, Father, you show them you've always wanted them, that they are the God kind, that they are a gift, and that they can receive this lavish life in Jesus that you've already provided and always wanted them to have freely by your love and grace and by you working in them. And I thank you, Father, you show every person the truth that they need to see to trust you. You show yourself strong, and you reveal to yourself, Father, you reveal to each person, Father, the character of who you are, and that you persuade each and every heart, Daddy. You persuade each and every heart in your love and grace and goodness and kindness to that mind change that everyone needs. And I thank you, Father, that you do this. You're relentlessly. I just thank you, Daddy, that even when we're sleeping, you're just getting in our dreams and you're showing yourself strong to us. And I just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, how you just ravish each and every one of these listeners in your love, and you just consume us in all that you think about us and believe about us, and that you will produce your life in us freely. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And I just want to say, if anybody feels to contact me, I'm on Facebook, Dawn M. Warner. You can look me up. You can look me up on Twitter, and it's also through my Facebook page. And you can also go to BaritiBritz.com, and you can look me up under Webmasters, and you can send me contact information there. And also at DawnWarner19@gmail.com. And I would love to pray with you, to encourage you. And I would just love, it would be such an honor that we could just share this, you know, just to share our hearts with each other. And any kind of encouragement that you need, please know that I would love to pray with you, and I'd love to hear from you. So thank you, Sade, for this awesome opportunity. I just want to say thank you so much, and I've been loving what's been happening at this conference. Thank you.
Time for another song break. This is the world premiere of my brand new free single. This is the most popular song I am asked to sing right after the national anthem. Here is my Hallelujah cover, produced by The Quakes. This song will be available for free download this weekend on my Facebook music page by clicking on my SoundCloud tab. You're listening to the Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference right here on Grindhard Radio.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart, giving me a brand new start. I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, minor, fall, the major lift. My heart and soul are praising, hallelujah. You're the God above. You're filling me with grace and love. I just wanna say thank you to you. You pulled me from the miry clay, giving me a brand new day. Now all that I can say is hallelujah.
best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even if it all goes wrong, I'll stand before.
Welcome back to the final night of the Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference on Grindhard Radio. I am the final speaker of our conference. I want to talk to you about this topic, resurrecting your dreams. Resurrecting your dreams. If you know anything about me, I am a huge dream advocate. I have been enthusiastic and excited and passionate about dreams ever since I can remember. That is the way that Jesus first revealed himself to me, was through dreams and visions that I'm living today. And this was around age 4. I could always see things into the future. I could always see things even within the present and see them play out like movies and books and all different types of amazing things. And for me, dreams are what God used to save my life. And he used dreams to be able to remind me of who I am and whose I am. And that even greater, God is the giver of dreams and all good things. God is the giver of dreams and all good things. Many people are not either passionate about dreams, or they question what is God's will for their life, or if he actually cares about our dreams. You'll hear oftentimes people say, well, just because you have a dream doesn't mean that's God's dream or God's will for your life. But I believe whatever is in the deep core of your being that you're not able to stop thinking about, that you dream about in your nighttime, you know, that you think about during the day, that is something from God. Did you know that God dreamed us into existence? We are God's dream come true. He could not even imagine a world without us in it. And that's why he brought his son Jesus, who is actually God himself, in order that his original plans and wonderful things for our lives could be restored and we could be reunited. And it's the most amazing thing to me, knowing that we are God's dream come true. God is the giver of dreams and all good things. For anyone who has been feeling down in your dream, you've been feeling far away from your dream, you've been just questioning a lot of things in life, I want to remind you that dreams are for an appointed time. I don't always know the timing of things. That's something that God and I oftentimes will be different on. Sometimes we are similar, but we want the same things, but it doesn't always happen at the same time. But I've learned throughout the years that his timing is always freaking amazing. And as I'm able to look back, I can see how things came into alignment, how he was setting people up, setting me up, bringing healing, restoration, bringing everything together. And now it makes so much more sense. But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, what the freak is going on here? So dreams are for an appointed time. Delays don't necessarily mean denial. Just because you're experiencing a delay, just because you're having challenges, just because you feel exhausted some days, you know, through life or whatever it may be, it doesn't mean that your dreams are not coming to pass. It doesn't mean that God has denied you. Delays can oftentimes be our best friend. There are some things in life that you can't teach. They can only be experienced. They can only be learned through your own life. Delays are an opportunity to be able to persevere. They're an opportunity to be able to grow, to accelerate. Just because you are questioning different things today, just because things don't seem like they're all coming together, that doesn't mean that it's not God's will for your life. It doesn't mean that it's not coming to pass. I don't know the answers of why some things take as long as they do or why things happen the way that they do. I do know, though, that God is good and He is for us and with us. And even though there are challenges in this world and even though there's evil in this world, that we have a greater hope that lies within us. There is power in a little at a time. There's power in baby steps. Never underestimate baby steps. Never underestimate the power of a little at a time. I have been pursuing my dreams and passions for over 12 years now, and even before that, I know that throughout my life, things have been setting up. I have been moving in the direction of my dreams and passions. A lot of my life has taken longer than many of my peers and people around me, and when I used to live in comparisons, as you heard in the first night of the conference during my message, You Have No Competition, I always felt like, why is this taking so long, and why is this at this time, and it was a real struggle for me, you know. But now, 12 years later, or we could actually say even longer than that if we count when I was in grade school, I'm very thankful for the way that my life has laid out. I'm very thankful for my path and my journey, because I feel that who I am and my inner being is strong and secure enough to withstand whatever comes my way, whether it be success according to the world's terms or whether it be failure according to the world's standards. Either way, this girl right here is going to be more than okay. Either way, I know who I am and whose I am and where I am headed, period. That cannot be changed. And so now I'm so thankful for my baby steps. I'm so thankful for my consistency and my persistence, for my tenacity. Those things cannot be taught. They can only be learned and experienced over time. There's so much power in baby steps, whatever it may be from the inside out. Those baby steps add up over time and they make a huge impact in your life. Most change and transformation doesn't happen overnight. It literally happens over time. Remember how far you have come. Rejoice in every victory. Remember how far you have come. Rejoice in every victory. Sometimes we can be praying for something so long, and we can be desiring and wanting things so much that we don't look up and see that we are actually living in what we have desired, and or we have come so far, and we forget how far God has brought us. We forget how far we have come in our journey because we're so focused on the destination. But the journey and who you are and who you are growing into is the best part. That's even greater oftentimes than what the actual destination according to the world's standards is. You have come a long way. How many times in your life can you look back and see and you thought to yourself, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how am I going to be able to keep going. I feel like I'm going to throw in the towel. But here you are today. You have survived. You have overcome every single bad day you have ever had so far. Right now, you have a comeback record of 100%. You have a comeback record of 100%. We're going to take a quick moment to give ourselves a pat on the back. I just gave myself a pat on the back and a big hug, knowing that we are so loved and so valued by God, knowing that God is mindful of us. Rejoice in every single victory. Many times we'll wait until there's something big that happens and then we celebrate. Celebrate today. There's a lot today in your life that we have to be grateful for. A lot of things that are going right. A lot of things that you have prayed for that have come to pass. Let's celebrate every single victory along the way. It helps to keep our spirit strong. It helps to keep our mind focused. It helps hope to continue rising within us. It helps our vision to be clear and for us to always be in that direction, in that frame of perspective, and that belief. Because as we all know, we can talk our own selves into a depression. We can talk our own selves into fear or frustrations or go down the list of things. We can talk ourselves into it. But by the grace of God, we can also remember who we are and remember what God has done. Remember where we are headed and celebrate and rejoice in every victory along the way. Surround yourself with loved ones and mentors. Surround yourself with loved ones, love, and mentors. If you're feeling like your dreams are stagnant right now, if you're feeling like there's areas of your life that are drained and empty. Surround yourself with love. Surround yourself with your loved ones and mentors. These people are amazing in your life. They're able to remind you of the truth. They're able to cheer you on when you feel like you want to give up. And I'm telling you, there comes a time in our lives, there comes a time in our spirit and our inner being where you have gone so far that quitting is no longer an option. There comes a time when you literally feel the grace, the love, the hope, and the encouragement of God accelerating you forward. One of my favorite verses talks about where it says, be strong for the people's sake. And we see so many times throughout the Bible where God says, do not be afraid, to be strong and courageous. The good news is God is strong and courageous in you. God will be your strength. God will be whatever you need. And he will supply people to you, bring people to you, or people who are already in your life. He will empower them to help strengthen you, and you strengthen one another. Oftentimes in your dreams, there will be times in your dreams where you'll need to determine if you need to reroute or re-strategize your dream. And that's okay. I do that often. You see what is working. You see what has been stagnant. You see what's not working. And then you can tweak it some. There's no shame in that. There's no guilt in that. Many times people who you think are a great success according to the world standards have failed thousands of times. And I'm putting quotation marks around the word failed. I don't believe there's such a thing as failure. I believe that as you know who you are and whose you are, you're confident and secure in your identity, you see everything as working out for your favor. I'm not saying everything always feels good. I don't live in la la land, but you live in an eternal optimism, knowing that nothing and no one can ever define or determine who you are or stop where you're headed or stop what God has for you. So at this time, when you need to reroute or re-strategize your dream, just take a little inventory inside. Take a little inventory and see what has been going on. See what are some areas that you can accelerate in. See how you can be able to really utilize what you have around you. Sometimes it may look for a while as if you are moving forward, doing all these things, and nothing's happening on the outside. But you've got to know that things are happening. Whether you see it or not, things are always happening. And it will make sense to you. You're going to be able to look back on this moment and be so glad that you didn't quit. You're going to be able to look back sooner than later. I pray for you. I pray that you'll even be able to look back later on this evening, or later on the afternoon or the morning, whatever time of the day it is where you are, and see how God's hand is in everything, protecting you, providing for you, restoring you, bringing the dreams and passions in your heart to pass, and you're able to just walk in peace. You can always begin again. You can always begin again. You can always dream a new dream or resurrect an old one. If you felt like, Shade, in the past, I tried to dream, but this happened to my dream, or I felt like I was let down, it's okay. You can always dream a new dream. And you never know, God could be resurrecting an old dream. But you can always dream a new dream. It's never too late. You're never too old or too young or too rich or too poor or too whatever. It doesn't matter. It's never too late. You can always begin again. You know how many times I begin again? As many times as I need to each day. Grace has no bounds. Sometimes I might begin again 100 times that day. With every new breath that we take, with every new beat in our heart, we are able to begin again. So as we're wrapping up my message on resurrecting your dreams, I want to reiterate some of the notes that I shared before, and I also want to pray for every single person who's listening, for every single dreamer, which is all of you around the world. God is the giver of dreams and all good things. He dreamed us into existence. We are God's dream come true. Dreams are for an appointed time. Just because you're experiencing delays does not mean denial. Just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean that something's wrong with you or that you did something wrong. Just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean that you are separated from the love and life of God. Sometimes life is just tough. That's it. We cannot over-spiritualize it and try to come up with some deep answer. Sometimes life is just tough. We all know there's evil in this world and there's challenges in this world. There's free will. We all been through things. But guess what? Above and beyond all of that, we are loved by God. We have all been called by God since birth. God protects us. He watches over us. And we are still able to live the highest quality of life that goes way beyond the physical, that goes way beyond material possessions. And we can walk in our destinies no matter what. There is power in a little at a time. There is power in baby steps. Don't ever underestimate small beginnings. Don't ever underestimate small chapters or small middle times of your life. Don't ever underestimate small endings. There's always power in a little bit at a time. There's power in baby steps. Rejoice in how far you have come. Rejoice in every victory along the way. Don't wait until big stuff happens. Allow yourself to enjoy every single moment that you have, every single time you're able to see something come to pass that you've desired. Remind yourself of how faithful and good God has been to you and ask God to help you to see from that perspective. God will always answer you. Even when you don't call, God is answering your thoughts. He's answering every desire in your heart. Surround yourself with love and mentors. Surround yourself with your loved ones and your mentors. Determine if you need to reroute or re-strategize your dream. There's no shame in beginning again. You can always begin again. You can always dream a new dream or resurrect an old one. Father God, I thank you so much for these precious, beautiful women and any men that are happening to tune in to this conference. I thank you that you are the God of dreams, that you dreamed us into existence. I thank you that anyone who's been struggling in that area of life and they just feel so destitute and sad and they feel that they're being hindered and they just have a lot of questions. I thank you that you're bringing peace to their hearts and their minds right now. Thank you that you're resurrecting the dreams in their hearts. Thank you that you're connecting them with all the right people. Thank you that you're giving them new dreams. Thank you that you are providing for them in every single way, that you're providing for them financially, that you're providing for them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, socially, wherever they feel a sadness or a pain in their heart. Thank you that you are making them brand new. Thank you that every single person who's listening does not have to compare themselves to others, that they don't have to look at only what's happening on the outside, but that they can always see from their spirits. Thank you that you are lifting up their spirits. Thank you that they can walk in eternal optimism and positivity. Thank you that you are strengthening them at their very core and that you're bringing healing to their minds, bodies, spirits, lives, and relationships. Thank you that you are resurrecting their dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you to everyone who tuned in to night 3 of the first ever Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference on Grindhard Radio. We had such a blast with you ladies and guys who happened to tune in these past 3 nights. Thank you to the Quakes for helping me to create and produce my theme song and also singing background vocals. Also thank them so much for producing my brand new free single, My Hallelujah Cover. Thanks to the beautiful ladies of Fifth Harmony for providing our theme song for the conference. Thank you to my special guest from the conference, Veronica Esquivel Winters, Melissa Joy Wood, Denise Henry, and Dawn Warner. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows and conferences. I'm going on break for the next couple of weeks, and we'll see you Wednesday, April 19th at 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time for the Season 3 premiere of my Sade Champagne radio show right here on Grindhard Radio Network. Our final song of the conference is by my friend and one of my biggest current musical influences, Godfrey Bertil. I dream of working with him in the studio one day, and I know it will come to pass very soon. Here is his song, Do You Believe What I Believe About You? At the end of the day, this is the main thing. What God says and how he sees you supersedes whatever negativity or fear that grips your heart, whatever challenges you experience, or whatever vicious words you have heard from others or insecurities you may feel. Remember, you can go back and listen to this whenever you want and soak in the truth as often as possible. I highly recommend it, and that is a truth from my own life. You can also download every night of the conference and share it with a friend or family member who needs it. Thanks for joining us for the first ever Sade Champagne Presents Queens of Radiance Conference right here on Grindhard Radio. You've been down before, you've been hurt before, you got up before, you'll be good to go, living it up, good to go. Destiny said that you gotta get up and get it, get mad and dependent, and don't you ever forget it. Got the blood on your shoulder, let me brush it off for you. If you're feeling me, put your 5 high. Put your heart in your soul.
Do you know what I know to be true? I put eternity into your heart. I've been madly in love from the very start, and forever we belong together. Believe what I believe about you. You are beautiful, so precious too. You're irreplaceable and unique, created for this intimacy, and forever we belong together. I say I think you're amazing. Ooh, I say delight and singing over you, like a bridegroom to his bride, like a father to his precious child, and forever we belong together.
to give up.